Welcome to Inside Tennessee on Conservative Nation Media. I'm your host, Dave Vance. Inside Tennessee is sponsored by the Tennessee Action Council, an educational organization dedicated to restoring constitutionally limited government and Judeo-Christian values that made our country great. Visit our website at tn4action.com. That's tn4action.com. The phone number to call in and join a conversation is 718-305-7176, 718-305-7176. Thank you for joining us tonight. Those of you who were with us last night, we had some serious technical problems, and so far it appears we may be having some similar technical problems. I'm not hearing any music, so I apologize for that. Hopefully I will be able to hear my guests. Speaking of guests, we have some great guests lined up tonight. We have Billy and Karen Vaughn. They are the parents of Aaron Vaughn. Aaron Vaughn was one of the Navy SEALs who took down bin Laden. Well, a few months after that, he and a good number of those Navy SEALs were, they all went down in one crash. And under suspicious circumstances, I guess you could say, very suspicious. And they've had a lot of trouble getting any answers from anybody. So they're going to be here with us to talk about their book called Betrayed. And I'll read you a little excerpt of that here in just a second. And then we're going to have Representative Tim Wargow. He is my representative from Stewart County, Benton County, and Henry County, Tennessee. And we're going to talk a little bit about the upcoming session. We're also going to talk about the Article 5 convention issue. And then a little later on, we're going to have Bean Fisher, Phil Diedrich, and Lisa Mae Norton. And they're going to talk to us about an event that they've lined up in April called Defending the Constitution. And it should be a very interesting event. They got some great guests lined up, and it should just be a real good event, and we'll hear a little bit more about that from them when they get here. So hopefully everything will go a little smoother tonight. I'm not sure what the problem is as far as the audio goes, but hopefully we'll get that worked out. But once again, appreciate you tuning in. I'm going to read you just a little bit of the excerpt from the book Betrayed, and we're waiting for them to call. They should call in here in just a second. Matter of fact, let me hold on. Look, before I do that, I need to check something here. Okay, they're still not in. All right, so, and this is an excerpt from, or a part of a review, a synopsis. Okay, Billy Vaughn, the father of a Navy SEAL warrior killed in action, is unleashing the shocking story of the betrayal of his son and fellow servicemen in a new book titled Betrayed, the Taliban shootdown of a CH-47 Delta Chinook chopper on August 6, 2011 became known as the single largest one-day loss of life in now 12 years in the war on terror. It also holds the tragic title of being the single largest one-day loss of life in naval special warfare history. 30 Americans, including 22 members of the famed SEAL Team 6, lost their lives that fateful night. Only 93 days after the outing of this secretive team, who just celebrated one of their greatest victories, the takedown of Osama bin Laden. With a passionate love of Father, Billy tenderly walks you through the horrifying moments leading up to it, including and following the phone call that radically changed the course of his life, finding out his son was one of the 30. But the story doesn't stop there. Let me scroll down here just a second. The book then chronicles his astounding discoveries of deception and danger through encounters with those in Congress, the military, and carefully selected declassified information as he began seeking answers to a few details that weren't adding up. His story reaches beyond the attack in Afghanistan and brings the incident home to Americans, detailing what it means for our safety, our national security, and our military leadership. It opens up a whole new way of looking at the military in the 21st century, tackling the difficult discussions on using rules of engagement to favor a savage enemy over those who serve and protect us, while delineating how these new concepts of warfare affect the personal lives of military families and all Americans during a time of global deception. I'm just going to read you one of the endorsements, or several. Classical military strategist Carl von Clausewitz wrote of the paradoxical trinity encompassing the collective wills of the government, the military, and the people in order for a nation to successfully prosecute a war. In the breathtaking book Betrayed, we see what happens when one aspect of that trinity and senior levels of another, through seemingly willful negligence, eschews the trust of the other two. As a former member of Congress and member of the House Armed Services Committee, I was briefed on the classified details of the mission infamously referred to by call sign Extortion 17. Having been a combat arms officer in the U.S. Army for 22 years, I was disturbed at several instances where standard TTPs, those are tactics, techniques, and procedures, were not followed, as well having been Billy and Kevin Vaughn's representative, I know the hurt and anguish of the parents of an elite warrior, their son Aaron, whose life was lost because of a blatant betrayal of the trust they put in their government to protect those who support and defend our Constitution and way of life. Betrayed is a must-read for those who wish to restore Clausewitz Trinity and ensure that future administrations and military leaderships places the safety and well-being of our warriors first and foremost. And that endorsement is from Lieutenant Colonel Alan B. West, U.S. Army retired and member of the 112th Congress. Actually, he's no introduction, but that's who the endorsement is from. All right, still waiting for Billy and Karen to call in. They had an earlier engagement tonight. They might be just a few minutes late. I hope that is the case. I hope we are not having a repeat of last week where I had all kinds of problems. You know, callers' numbers were not showing up in the switchboard, and nobody could hear me, and none of my ads worked last week. So hopefully we're not going to have a repeat of that situation. So let me do a little check here, and we will get going here. All right. Okay. Let's talk a little bit more about this situation. Okay. Hello. Yes. Hey. Did you call in the 718 number? All right, it's 718-305. Yes. 7176. And okay, hopefully you should pop up in the switchboard here in a minute. We'll just let you know we've had some technical problems. I'm hoping that I actually see your number pop up when your call comes in. And if not, we will have to reschedule. But give it a couple seconds here, and we'll see what it does. Okay. All right. Thank you. Thank you. All right, folks. That was Billy Vaughn calling in, and so hopefully he will pop up on the switchboard here in just a second. Another is user. You are disconnected. Oh, great. Hello. Hello. Okay. Right. 7176. Okay, yes. All right, thanks. All right. Okay, here we go. Billy, or Karen, yes, can you hear me?
It's
apologize
here.
For that. I got knocked off the station somehow. Can you hear me in the background?
Yeah, I can hear you.
No, we've got a little bit of time. I apologize for that. We've had some serious problems.
No problem.
Okay. All right, well, let's go ahead and get started if we can.
Give me about 1 minute.
Okay.
And I'll step away privately. Just give me 1 minute.
Okay. Okay.
Just hang on just a second. Thank you very much. Okay, Dave, go ahead.
Okay, all right. Well, hey, I appreciate you coming on, and sorry for the technical problems there. I don't know what to tell you. It was, we had the same problem last week. Hopefully we'll get it ironed out. Anyway, I gave a little read of your book, or a little, basically I read Colonel West's endorsement of your book and just gave a little brief synopsis of the book. And I know that, you know, a lot of people are interested in this, but there's still a whole lot of people that don't even know what happened, and that is something they definitely need to know. But you mentioned today that this is going to be making a little bigger splash here in the not-too-distant future, and if you could talk about that a little bit, that there's actually going to be hearings on this issue. So since we're kind of behind on time here, why don't we go ahead and, if you want to, just give a little brief synopsis of, you know, what was it about the situation that got you, I guess, what was your first red flag that something was not right about what you were told?
Okay, well, very early on, shootdown happened on August 6, 2011. In October of 2011, the families were brought into a debriefing at Little Creek Base in Virginia Beach. And we learned two things at that debriefing that were very, very disturbing. The first thing we learned is that the SEALs were being flown in that night and to a hot landing zone in a 1960-something model CH-47D Chinook cargo hauling helicopter, last retrofitted in the 1980s. And then the second thing is that when the chopper was shot down, because of the rules of engagement, we did not take out the men who fired the RPGs, our air weapons team in the air. We had an AC-130 Spectre gunship and two AH-64 helicopters in the air. And because of the rules of engagement, even though they knew two of those aircraft saw where the RPGs were fired from, they did not fire back on them. So the men walked away that night. So those two things were very, very troubling. And so when we left that debriefing, I began to call congressmen, and Congressman Alan West and Congressman Tom Rennie were a couple who, and Congressman Steve Fisher from Tennessee were three congressmen who actually talked to me and who were interested in the situation. And that led Karen and I down the road to begin looking at other things. Actually, what really put us there was in December of 2011, Rooney went to a classified meeting with high-ranking military officials in Washington, D.C., wrote me a letter back that said he was told by them it wasn't because of the rules of engagement. It was because they didn't know where the shots came from that they didn't take out the man who shot the RPGs. And I knew that was a lie. And
Now, who told you that? Who was it that told you that?
Congressman Rooney told us that's what he had been told by high-ranking military officials in a classified meeting that he and Congressman Alan West attended in Washington, D.C. And I knew that was a lie because of what we had been told. And I called SOCOM to recheck my story. They told me the same thing again that they had told me. And I talked to an admiral, the admiral of Naval Special Warfare. He, you know, gave me the same answer that we had heard in the debriefing. So I knew somebody was lying in D.C. And so Karen and I began to go down the road of trying to find out what really happened and why people were lying. And the things that we uncovered about what happened that night were just absolutely unbelievable. And I have put a lot of those straight testimony from the military in the book. We were given, when we left there that day, the families were given a disc. And when I began to look, I printed the disc out off the computer, and it was some 1,300 pages of military testimony and investigation of what had taken place that night. Probably another 200 to 250 pages that were totally redacted and blacked out. And
good,
so
that much.
Absolutely. And so that's what gave us most of the information that we have today that about the way things are going in Afghanistan. And one thing you have to learn, one thing you have to remember, Dave, is today this is not just about all about Aaron and what happened that night. We know we can't bring Aaron back, but there are still men and women every day, every week, who are bleeding in Afghanistan because of the way that we're fighting that war. And that's what Karen and I are trying to change today. So,
well, let me ask you a question. So when you went to that first brief at SOCOM, they told you up front, we were using old aircraft, and because of the rules of engagement, we couldn't take out the people that were firing RPGs. Now,
they did tell us
I imagine that somebody there questioned, well, why were you using such old aircraft? I mean, did that question come up? And if so, what was their response?
I asked that day. I had done a little research. I already knew they were flying on the CH-47. I'd already found that out from a commander at SEAL Team 6. And so in the debriefing that day, I asked. When the guy said, General Brigadier Jeffrey Colt, the man leading the investigation, kept on referring to the CH-47D, And I asked him, sir, you keep on saying CH-47D. I said, why were they not flying on an MH-47 special operations chopper, 160th Aviation from Fort Campbell, the Night Stalkers? And
right.
he said, we don't have enough. He said, we absolutely don't have enough for the stepped up amount of missions that we're doing in Afghanistan. And that's why. We only have 61 of those special operations choppers. And I learned that day that you can only have, according to the military, you can only have 20 in theater at one time. 20 have to be down for maintenance, and 20 are used for training. So, and at the time that Aaron was killed, we were actually doing an average of 334 special op missions per month. There were 11 special operations. There were 11 special operations missions that took place the night that he was killed. So, and this is all during the same time that President Obama is telling the American people that we're ramping down in Afghanistan, and we are with the conventional troops, but we are absolutely wearing our special operation forces out and carrying them around in dilapidated equipment, being flown by general purpose forces pilots, and general purpose forces helicopters that are made for transporting troops, not carrying troops into a hot landing zone like they did that night.
Did you ask him if, this scenario, well, it sounds like this scenario it's probably happened other times, except they weren't shot down, but there was probably other scenarios where special operators went in on old aircraft without the special trained pilots or whatever and conducted missions. So that this was not, unfortunately, this was not rare.
It was
wrong,
rare,
but it's not rare.
Yeah, that's right. I didn't ask him that day, but we found out later from Army Rangers and from other SEAL operators that absolutely they were flying on these old choppers, and even in the military testimony that they were afraid something like this was going to happen.
And what about the rules of engagement? What was his response? I'm sure somebody asked him about those insane rules of engagement. What was his response?
Well, we didn't really know what to say. I did. There again, I asked. I asked three times, and he gave me the same. I said, "You mean it was because of the rules of engagement?" So he gave me the same stuff. "Yes, sir. I mean to tell you, it was because of the rules of engagement." And so, you know, we left there. I mean, you know, nobody made a scene that day. Grieving families in there, you know, with a bunch of military people. But we left there that day. I left there that day, as other people did, upset, you know. And so that's when I started calling congressmen and stuff. And we have found out absolutely terrible things. That chopper, the night that it went in, it was a three and a half hour firefight underway. And that chopper, there was no pre-assault fire laid down for that chopper when it went in. In case your listeners may not know what pre-assault fire is, where when the chopper's going into the hot landing zone, that the air weapons teams in the air lay down some suppressive fire to make the enemy keep their head down. There was no suppressive fire laid down from any of the air weapons team because it's considered aggressive to the enemy. Aggressive to the Afghans and the way that we're fighting on there today. So basically the chopper flew in like it was landing at the Walmart parking lot into one of the most dangerous operating places in the world in the Afghan mountains, with no pre-assault fire, with heated battle going on, and they were shot out of the sky.
Good Lord. Now, there were some personnel changes involving the Afghanis that were on this flight as well. Some last-minute personnel changes involving them. Can you talk about that a little bit?
Yeah, that's right. There were seven Afghan commandos who were also killed that night on the chopper. But they weren't. The men who were killed were not the names of the actual men, of the men who were supposed to be on the chopper. The names on the manifest were different from the men who were on the chopper. So we still don't have an answer to that, why that happened. There may be a simple answer for that, but I'm told by military people that should absolutely never happen and that a commander swapped those men out at the last minute. So we don't have an answer to that yet.
I can tell you that should never happen. I'm retired military, and anybody who spent any time in the military can tell you that that should never happen.
Well, thank you for your service, Dave. Thank you.
Well, thank you. Thank you. So, okay. Now, there was one other event that happened. It was a memorial ceremony where they allowed some demon to make some sort of prayer. It was not a simple prayer, I guess you'd say.
Dave, I didn't understand everything you said. I know you talked about the imam, but you're breaking up.
Okay. The imam, apparently, from what I understand, actually, rather than giving a prayer at a funeral, cursed our guys at the funeral in some way, shape, or form with what he had to say.
Yeah, what happened was, this is what happened. At the same time, and I'll just give you a little background. At the same time that I asked the question, on January 14th, 2013, the admiral, four-star admiral over U.S. Special Operations Command, paid Karen and I a visit at our home in Florida, and at his request, and he brought with him a senior enlisted advisor. And as we sat there talking, I brought it up about the seven Afghans, and I said it must not have been a very big deal because in the military documents it just made the statement that they weren't the same men who were on the manifest. And I said it didn't say anything else about it. It just passed right over. And the senior enlisted advisor said, "Mr. Vaughn, that's a very big deal." I said, "That should never happen." And he went on ahead and said, he said, "I just want you to know, at the ramp ceremony in Afghanistan, the rest of your son's team were very upset because an Afghan was allowed to speak." And he said, what happened was, he said, an Afghan commander, he didn't say an Afghan commander, he said a commander changed out the seven Afghans right at the last moment. And I didn't think to ask that day who the commander was, but he went ahead and asked Karen and I. He said, "Did you get your copy of the ramp ceremony like you were supposed to?" And Karen said, "No, we didn't get it, and we understand that the other parents hadn't gotten it either." And he told us, he said, "Well, I'll get you I will see that you get a copy. So when we got a copy of the round ceremony in February, Karen, on a Saturday morning, we put it in, and as it went through the ceremony, an American chaplain prayed a very generic prayer, and then immediately after that, there was the imam started chanting and over the American coffins. And so immediately, I said to Karen, we got to get this translated and see what he says. So it's been translated by at least five or six different groups independently. And Louis Goldman's staff, Michelle Bachman's staff, Glenn Beck's staff, we had someone translate it, and not telling them what it was. Karen just pulled the audio off of it, and not any of the other stuff going on, so that it wouldn't be prejudice, you know, as give us a biased opinion. And absolutely what he did. He damned the American warriors to hell, called them fodder for hellfire, said the Muslims were the winners, and that was allowed to go on with American military leaders standing right there. And immediately after he was done, then General Votel, the general over all the Afghan operations, stood there and praised the Afghans and the relationship they had with the Americans and all this kind of stuff right after this guy had said that kind of stuff. So that's what's going on in our military today.
Disgusting. Absolutely disgusting. I don't know what to say about that. Billy, I've got to take a quick break, provided my commercials work. Can you stay with me for a few minutes after the break?
I can stay with you for just a few minutes more, Dave. We still got stuff going on here, and I got people I'm signing books for and things like that, so I'm going to have to get back. But I'll stay with you a few more minutes. Okay?
Okay. Let's see if this thing works, and we'll be right back.
Okay.
You're listening to Inside Tennessee on Conservative Media. Don't go away. We'll be right back.
Americans have known Tennessee as the volunteer state since the War of 1812. Now, Tennessee is leading the way in another major conflict, the war to keep America's identity, values, and freedoms intact. Even if you've never walked in Memphis or hiked the Blue Ridge Mountains, if you respect traditional American values, you should know about the Tennessee Action Council. Tennessee Action Council fights to preserve American values, defend our way of life, and protect the U.S. Constitution. This isn't just Tennessee's battle. It affects every American who loves our country and wants to pass the real America, unstained by progressive liberalism, along to future generations. No matter where you are in this magnificent country of ours, Tennessee Action Council is on your side and on America's side. Go to TN4Action.com. That's TN, the number 4, Action.com to volunteer for Tennessee and America. That's TN, the number 4, Action.com to stand for America now.
Welcome back to Inside Tennessee on Conservative Nation Media. I'm your host, Dave Vance. We have Billy Vaughn on the line with us, and we are talking about his book, Betrayed, which is what happened to his son and 30-some other Navy SEALs. Billy, can you hear me, Billy?
Yeah.
Okay, I know you've got to go. I appreciate you being with us. One quick question. You mentioned earlier today when I talked to you on the phone that there is going to be a hearing on this in Congress. Can you talk about that real quick?
Yeah, I can. We just found out that Friday afternoon that after the first year that the Oversight Committee in the House of Representatives is going to conduct a hearing. And like I told you today, I don't know exactly what it's going to be comprised of, but to address some of these issues that are going on and that happened that night. And So I was able to talk to one of them this morning, and because it was, you know, it just came out on the news late Friday afternoon, and it is indeed going to happen, but we'll just have to wait and see where it goes, Dave. There's changes got to be made, you know, and we'll see if that happens. We'll see how political it is, and I hope that I hope that the congressmen are able to do something. You know, the thing of it is this is not an easy fix, because the rules of engagement are set by the commander-in-chief. Congress has taken their hands off of it. This is what we've learned, if they ever had much control of it. And now the commander-in-chief, whatever his political agenda is, sets these rules of engagement. And today they are absolutely criminal. In 2009, we in Afghanistan, we adopted the COIN strategy, the counterinsurgency strategy, the winning the hearts and minds strategy instead of winning the war. And just to give you an idea, from the time that we went with that, we began operations in Afghanistan up until 2009, we lost slightly less than 1,000 Americans killed in action in Afghanistan. From the time that we adopted that COIN strategy in 2009, in the next 24 months, we lost another 917, I believe, 900 and some odd American deaths in Afghanistan. In 27 months after the COIN strategy was implemented in Afghanistan, we reached another 1,000 deaths in Afghanistan. And same warriors, different strategy, different president, these changes are going to be long and hard coming by. It's going to take an outcry from American citizens to get things back where our warriors are allowed to fight to win.
Well, amen to that, and that's got to happen. And Billy, do you have a website that people you can direct people to? And your book, I'm assuming it's available on Amazon and in all bookstores.
It's available on Amazon, but it's not in all bookstores yet. And you can also buy it on our website. Our website is For Our Son, FOROURSON, it's forourson.us. I just gave you our email. Forourson.us, FOROURSON.us. And you can buy the book there. Or you can buy it on Amazon.
Okay. And, you know, I would encourage everybody out there, read a little bit about this. Take what you've learned tonight, get the book, get online, dig up the facts. And, you know, we probably all need to call our congressmen and call our senators and, you know, put a little pressure on them. I mean, it didn't happen. Just because it didn't happen to our family immediately doesn't mean that we shouldn't be concerned about it. And, I mean, these are our guys fighting over there, and the administration is getting them killed, bottom line.
That's right, Dave. The thing of it is, these guys can't speak for themselves. They go about the work silently. They have to have Americans speak up for them.
That's the least that we can do. And I hope that everybody will do that. Well, Billy, I know you've got a lot to do, and I appreciate you and Karen. God bless you both. Thank you for coming on. I hope to get you on again in the near future. And I'm going to keep in touch with you and definitely follow those hearings in January.
Okay, Dave. And thank you so much for having us on tonight. I appreciate it so much. And thank you for what you did. God bless you.
Well, and thank you. God bless you and take care.
All right, guys. Bye-bye.
Okay, bye. We've got a caller on the line. Kurt, how are you tonight?
I'm fine, Dave, and yourself.
Okay, a little irritated with what I've had to hear, being reminded of what our government's done.
Yeah, and you, better than most, know the reality of that and what's going on there and what's going on here. I regret that things were the way they were there tonight. Got off to a rocky start, and then Billy was apparently, well, he said so himself, he still had some sort of an event where they were signing books, et cetera, which I guess accounts for all the noise in the background there. Stuff happens. I would have liked to have been able to ask him personally, like to hear his comments on it, and I'll have to get in touch with him or you or something. I want to find out what precisely our state politicians, our congressman Stephen Fincher, I thought I heard Billy mention his name earlier. I don't know for sure whether I did or not. But and our Senators Alexander and Corker, what type of cooperation, if any, that the Vaughn family is receiving from those politicians? And I'm interested in the whole scenario, but of course, you know, due to the fact that they're Tennessee natives, puts a spotlight on what the Tennessee politicians are doing in regard to this. And I hope we can find out and exert force there as soon as possible.
Well, he did mention that he had seen Representative Fincher, and I got the impression anyway that Representative Fincher had tried to be helpful. And then his actual representatives down in Florida, Representative West at the time, and I don't recall the other fellow's name who was his representative. But, you know, they no longer live in Tennessee. They do have family here, and they're originally from here. So I didn't get the specifics, but, you know, it's like I say, regardless, just with the information we have, all of us should be able to call and say, hey, look, this needs to be looked into. And, you know, it doesn't matter that it wasn't our family directly. You know, that kind of stuff is going on, you know, it's just wrong, and it's got to stop, and somebody needs to be held accountable for it. So got Jerry on the line here.
Hey, Dave, how you doing? Kurt, how are you?
Hey.
Like this.
All right, how's it going, Jerry?
Good information you gave us. Very good, very good. Hey, I just wanted to take a minute to say a little bit about the Tennessee Action Council. You know, everybody listens, they know the show was presented by the Tennessee Action Council, but folks want to know what the Tennessee Action Council is. I'd like to take a minute to tell you what it is. The Tennessee Action Council was formed to educate the citizens of Tennessee about the state government and the issues that affect our everyday life and to give us a voice in how we're governed. That can only happen, folks, if we join together. We as a large voice can make a difference. And if you're not a resident of Tennessee, that doesn't matter, because I'm sure in your states you're running across a lot of the things we're running across here. If you're tired of the baloney and fed up by the crap that the politicians feed to us all the time, they promise to represent us, then they go do whatever they want to do or do what's best for them. If you want to take back your state government and bring us back to the United States Constitution and to the state's Constitution, folks, that takes numbers and it takes money to make it happen. We can't just sit around and complain about it. The liberals are doing that. They're putting up their money, and they're joining together, and they're following the agenda that they want to meet. And we have to do the same thing. We need to join together. We've got to dig into our pockets a little bit, and it doesn't take a lot. If we only had 10,000 people across the state, which is nothing, literally nothing, and they'd give $10 a day, that would be $100,000 a month. You have any idea what kind of a voice that would give us in the state government? Think about that, folks, and join us. Go to tnforaction.com, take a look at us, and join us. And together, as a group, we can make a difference. I hear so many people say, what can I do? Well, the truth of the matter is, I can do nothing, but we can do a lot. So think about it, and let's get together. Join us, folks, and make a difference. And again, to our guests, thank you very much for all the great information you give us.
Thanks, Jerry. Appreciate
David,
it.
I'll say goodnight to you folks and listen on to the rest of the show.
All right. Hey, take care. Thanks, Jerry.
You
Let's
too.
Assume Bye-bye. That you're listening to ConservativeNationMedia.com. You're a conservative. You love America just like we do, and you don't want to get caught short in case the leftist government drops the ball and leaves the country and your family unable to get the basics of life in an emergency. Since that's the case, you're going to want a supply depot to get everything from patriotic gear to survival necessities to outtake you and your family. And your pipeline of those essentials is right here at ConservativeNationMedia.com. Just go to our website, ConservativeNationMedia.com, and click on the Patriot Depot banner. That will take you to the world's best-known warehouse for all your conservative emergency survival needs. Wave your flag and be ready for whatever the future holds starting right now. Just go to ConservativeNationMedia.com and click on the Patriot Depot banner to join the conservative revolution, where America always wins. Welcome back to Inside Tennessee on Conservative Nation Media. I'm your host, Dave Vance, and we have another guest coming up, Representative Tim Wergo, my state representative, should be calling in any minute now. And anyway, we're going to talk to him. Well, before I get to that, I want to back up here just a little bit You know, we were talking with Billy Vaughn about his book Betrayed, and we were talking about basically how our government has betrayed, our military betrayed us as a people, you know, with the insane rules of engagements that get our guys killed. It's not the first time they've done it. They did it in Vietnam, and they've done it other times. They did it earlier on in the war on terror, but it's totally, totally out of control now. It's insane. And, you know, that has to stop. But, you know, the whole betrayal thing, you know, if you remember right after 9/11, you heard, 15 of the 19 hijackers were Saudi. And, you know, everybody was kind of wondering, I know I was wondering, okay, why we haven't really done anything to the Saudis. 15 of the 19 hijackers are Saudi, and we don't end up going into Saudi Arabia. We end up going to Iraq. Now, in fairness, I thought, okay, I'm good with this. I'd still like to deal with the Saudis, but, okay, got it. But it seems now that apparently there's a little more to that than what we thought there was. And let me check here and just make sure that our guest is not back off. Kurt, are you there?
Yes, I am.
Okay, well, I got knocked off and just now got back on. So.
Oh, okay.
Anyway. All right, still waiting on Representative Worko to call in. I don't know if he's going to call in or not. And see if I can find the article that I was going to talk about there. Actually, I'll tell you what, let's talk about the convention, the state convention. Actually, here it is. Oh, one thing I need to mention this. Common Core, which is an issue in our state as it is cross country. There's an event called Getting Down to the Core. It's January 11, 2014. This is a Saturday event from 1 to 5 p.m. It's at Embassy Conference Center, 612 West Due West Avenue, Madison, Tennessee, 37115. And the speakers are Dr. Duke Pessa, Dr. Chris Tinkin, and Victoria Jackson. That's Victoria Jackson of Saturday Night Live fame. Tickets are $10 by check or $11.24 if purchased online. Details are listed at www.tnacc.net, and you can look at the calendar for details, or you can contact Karen Bracken at reagan.net. So that's January the 11th from 1 to 5. It's a Saturday at Embassy Conference Center, 612 West Due West Avenue, Madison, Tennessee. Getting Down to the Core. So that's an event you're going to want to check out. You can see what's going on with the whole Common Core thing here in Tennessee. And I'm sure you'll be going to that, right, Kurt?
Most likely. By the way, would you like me to see if I can reach Tim and get him to call you?
Yeah, that'd be nice. That'll work.
I'll see if I can get Tim, okay, and I'll be back on the line a bit.
All righty, thanks. I'm going to go ahead and pull up. As a matter of fact, let's go ahead and take a quick break, and don't go away. We'll hopefully be right back.
Hey, liberals, why don't you try rooting for your own damn country for a change?
This is Frank Beard of ZZ Top for Rad. If you're out partying and drinking, and we all know that happens sometimes, please don't get behind the wheel. Give up the keys to a designated driver. Please don't drink and drive.
A public service message brought to you by the U.S. Department of Transportation, RAD, the National Association of Broadcasters, and the Ad Council.
Hi, this is Kathy Henners, your host of Daily Roll Call on ConservativeNationMedia.com. Whether you're surrounded by friends and family or far away protecting our country, may you find joy, love, and peace. Merry Christmas!
Welcome back to Inside Tennessee on Conservative Nation Media. I'm your host, Dave Vance. The phone number is 718-305-7176. That's 718-305-7176. And this is Inside Tennessee, waiting on a call from Representative Tim Wergo. I'm going to go ahead and prep the field a little bit here for when we get him on or if we don't get him on. First off, I do want to touch up on the Saudi cover-up. It was in the New York Post, which is a conservative publication, and it says that after 9/11, the public was told Al-Qaeda acted alone with no state sponsors. But the White House never let it be seen, and that would be the Bush White House, by the way. But for the record, I happen to think that the last three presidents all belong in orange jumpsuits with matching jewelry for different reasons. And apparently I see yet another reason. But the White House never let this entire section of Congress investigate and get a better report on 9/11 dealing with specific sources of foreign support for the 19 hijackers, 15 of whom were Saudi nationals. It was kept secret and remains so today. President Bush inexplicably censored 28 full pages of the 800-page report. Text isn't just blacked out here and there in this critical yet missing middle section. The pages are completely blank except for dotted lines where an estimated 72,000 words once stood. This story by, okay, and let's slide down here a little bit. A pair of lawmakers who recently read the redacted portion say they're absolutely shocked at the level of foreign state involvement in the attacks. Representative Walter Jones of North Carolina and Stephen Lynch, Democrat of Massachusetts, can't reveal the nation identified by it without violating federal law, so they proposed Congress pass a resolution asking President Obama to declassify the entire 2002 report, joint inquiry into intelligence community activities before and after the terrorist attacks. Some information is already leaked, which is based on both CIA and FBI documents, and it points back to Saudi Arabia, a so-called ally. Allies in the Middle East, that is almost an oxymoron with the exception of Israel. The Saudis deny any role, but the CIA in one memo reportedly found incontrovertible evidence that Saudi government officials, not just wealthy Saudi hardliners, but high-level diplomats and intel officers provided by the kingdom helped the hijackers both financially and logistically. The intelligence files cited in the report directly implicate the Saudi embassy. So there you have it. I mean, that's not necessarily a done deal, but, nothing would really – I don't think we should be shocked anymore with what we see going on. So, okay, Representative Wergow is trying to call in. Hopefully he can get through. I see we got Kurt again. All right, Kurt, hopefully we'll get Tim here in a minute. I saw where he's trying to call in. I appreciate you getting in touch with him.
He's trying to call you now.
All right, good. Hopefully it'll pull up here in just a second. I don't need your number. Okay. Well, two things tonight that we've talked about. We've talked about the whole betrayed thing with the SEALs and Extortion 17, and now possibly, Representative Wergau is now on the line, I do believe.
Hello.
Representative Wergau, are you with us?
Hey, David, are you there? Hello.
I'm here. How are you?
I'm doing
can you hear
fine.
Me?
I can hear you just fine. I could hear your broadcast a little to going, but I could not get through. So
I know we've had some tech problems today. This week is not as bad as last week, but we've had some problems tonight.
I
appreciate your patience, and I appreciate you calling in.
No, and I'm glad to be with you. And David, thank you. Let me start off by saying thank you, one, for the invitation. And thank you for the passionate job that you are doing to continue to be that voice and to continue to stir the pot, which is what we really, really need.
Well, thank you. I've never been accused of stirring the pot before, have I, Kirk?
No, never.
So.
and one thing, Tim, I want to thank you again because, you know, Representative Wergau was going to be with us last week, but, you know, he saw things were kind of hectic. I got my first guest on really, really late, and Tim was gracious enough to offer to come back this week. So, hey, thank you for that. You know, he was not trying to hide out. He was doing me a favor, and I greatly appreciate that. Representative Wergau, real quick, because I really want to spend the bulk of the time here on the Article 5 convention issue, but real quick,
yes.
What do you see on the agenda for this upcoming session in Tennessee?
From what I'm hearing right now, and again, we'll learn more. Some of the people are keeping things close to their vest. But what I'm hearing, I think that we'll, again, see education issues. I think Common Core has become such a hot topic that I think that we'll see, you know, some, you know, avenues and people trying to go down that street. And let me just, if I could, just for just a few moments, talk about the Common Core. I think what we're doing, what we're seeing, and I'm learning more and more about Common Core as we go, because it's becoming such a hot topic. So I'm trying to educate myself on that thing. I think what we're seeing, David, is I think that we're seeing standards that we want to set for our school system, but then a second issue that we're seeing that's tied to Common Core is information in our textbooks. So in reality, I think that we have two different topics, but under one name of Common Core. I think we all feel that there is a struggle with the education system that we have to address, that we have to look at, but we're also wanting to. It disappoints Tim Wergau personally from some of the things that we are not teaching in the classrooms that I grew up learning as a child. I don't like the fact that we're not teaching enough American history. I don't like the fact that we're not teaching about economics and FFA and things of that other nature. Now, we live in a highly technology era, so we're seeing things go. But the more that we dictate to our classrooms and tell them what they can teach and what they shouldn't teach, I just think that is still a path that I and an avenue that we don't need to go, and I'm not willing to support. But I, you know, so that's just my little brief take on Common Core. I think we've got two difficult things, but under one umbrella, and we got to figure out how we can separate the two. I get it, the fact that Tennessee is lagging in education, and we need to change that and raise our bar so we have the educated workforce. But you don't sell your soul to the devil to teach your children about certain things.
Yeah, well, and you know,
I think so. Go ahead if you want to.
No, go ahead and finish. Go ahead.
Yeah, I think some of the other things I think, which I think is in material issues. I think we'll see wine and grocery stores being another hot topic. I think we'll see some changes from. The gun rights with the gun and cars issues, and I listened to your caller in last week. I think you'll see
John
some addressments there. And let me say personally, you know, you and I have spent time even in my Nashville office talking about this, about that thing. I feel I supported that bill last year, but I think, David, the more that we water down our Second Amendment right, the more that we say what you can and what you cannot do, we're only weakening it. That's all that we're doing. Personally, I didn't want to support that bill, and I'll tell the listeners out there the simple reason why. Guess what? I'm a business owner. You just told me what I could do. We don't need to get too far off on this because I know you want to talk about Article 5, but you and I have had this particular conversation. But you just told me what I can do with my property. It's the same folks that come into my office and say, don't tell me what to do with my property here, my own personal thing. Well, contrary to belief, Obama did not build my business. I built my business from scratch with the help of some great employees and great community support, whatever. But you just told me what I have to do for my employees, and I feel that's an infringement on my rights. But you know what? The bulk of my constituents wanted me to support that, so guess what? They elected me to be their voice, so I was going to support it. Has nothing to me to do with Second Amendment rights, because the more that we water down the Second Amendment right, the more that we're stealing from our folks. Second Amendment is the Second Amendment. We have the right to bear arms. We shouldn't have to have a permit to carry it around. Now, I'm a permit holder because that's what the law states, and I'll try to by the law. But the more that we water that down, David, the weaker it becomes, and that's what the other liberals want.
So you would support constitutional carry then, right? We should be able to get support for constitutional carry, right?
You know, a lot of people laugh about that, but, you know, the other states do have it, and it does work. And what our Constitution says? Is that not what our Constitution says?
Exactly, and including on my way to work. But I'm going to have to jump in here because I've got to take a hard break.
Okay, go right ahead.
We'll be right back after the break. I appreciate your listening Inside Tennessee on Conservative Nation Media. Don't go away.
If you love America, you're among friends here. ConservativeNationRadio.org.
I'm Jeff Holtzman. A new report shows that Obamacare navigators, whose job it is to help enroll Americans in new health insurance plans, have put sensitive health and tax information belonging to individuals at risk. The report, released by the House Oversight and Government Reform Committee, found that some navigators have been giving Americans misinformation and in some cases actively encouraging enrollees to commit fraud in order to raise their subsidies. In one case, navigators in Dallas, Texas, were recorded on tape advising an applicant to lie about her smoking habits in order to qualify for a lower monthly health premium. The report concludes that documents call into question the effectiveness of the Navigator program and the Obama administration's ability to safeguard consumer information. In response, the White House dismissed concerns over the Navigator program.
It's pretty evident upon scrutiny that this is an effort to, in a partisan way, sabotage the Affordable Care Act.
Spokesman Jay Carney. Jeff Holtzman, Talk Radio News Service, Washington.
Been looking for an online gathering place? You know, a familiar screen, does everything you're used to, except give you grief for being a conservative? You gotta try the Tea Party community. At TPC, you'll know how everything works from the very first minute, and you'll probably find a lot of friends who are already there. Organize, communicate, share ideas, upcoming events, pictures, and videos. The Tea Party community connects and empowers like-minded, politically conservative people like you. Sign up today at teapartycommunity.com.
Hello, I'm Jennifer Meadows, your host on Grit and Grace. Please join us every Tuesday night from 10 to 12 Eastern for an honest look at the top political and cultural issues that are affecting Americans today. That's Grit and Grace, for conservative analysis that is smart and entertaining. Tuesdays, 9 to 11 p.m. Central, 10 to 12 Eastern on ConservativeNationMedia.com.
Well, Welcome back to Inside Tennessee on Conservative Nation Media. I'm your host, Dave Vance. The phone number is 718-305-7176, and I'm talking to Representative Tim Wergau of the 74th District of Tennessee. He's my representative. He represents Stewart County, Benton County, and Henry County. And, Tim, during a break, we talked a little bit, and we could really get way off and delve into Common Core. You know it's an issue. You're right. I think some people do intermesh the textbook thing, but textbooks are a problem. They've been a problem for a long time. They're only getting worse. Common Core, I think it really seriously has to be looked at. You know, it was basically bought and sold to us sight unseen, and so we know that there's a lot of concern with that. But we could spend a whole night on that, but the big thing that I really want to put a little bit of time in, what time we have, is the issue of an Article 5 convention, and you know a little bit about that. You were involved with something up in D.C. the Saturday before last, correct?
Yes, that is correct. We spent some time, and I appreciate your conversation about the Common Core and that other stuff. I'll gladly, David, come back, and we can do another thing and possibly some call-ins with some question answer with some of the callers. But, yeah, Article 5 has really, really caught my interest. I spent some time in D.C. the week before last in trying to learn about some of the legislation, some of the ways that we can protect states' rights and things of that other nature. And Article 5 with the Constitution of States really, really caught my attention. Now, I don't profess to be the expert on this at all. I was a little bit more prepared last week than I am this week to talk about it as I had my literature and stuff in front of me. But there's a website, and I will get that to you, David, so you can pass that along next week. I apologize to the listeners that are listening tonight about the Convention of the States. And here's what intrigued me so much and which really caught my interest. I think, you know, the Congress is at an all-time low approval rating. What can we do to wake up America? And this Constitution of the States, or Convention of the States dealing with the Constitution is our avenue through Article 5. You know, I still firmly believe, as I read through that Constitution and the other things, there was divine intervention in that room when these men put this thing together.
Amen.
And one of the things that was objected to in that was about giving all the authority to Congress or whatever. So they came up with, and I believe it was James Madison. I don't, like I said, I sound like a perfectionist or anything, but he talked about objecting to an added amendment and put in about the Article 5 where we could have a convention of the states. And that's – but what we need to do, and there are several pushes for people out there to have a convention of the states. But my understanding is it has to be a clear-cut amendment ratified by 34 of the 50 states with all the same language. Are you still there?
Yes, I'm
listening. Hello. Okay, I'm
Hello.
Sorry. I had to switch. I had to switch phones because my battery was going dead. So,
but 34
have to have the same language. Now, some people believe our best avenue to that is through the repeal of Obamacare. Sounds great, but could we get 34 states to agree on the same amendment? I don't know. And another one is a balanced budget. Geez, 90-some percent of the citizens, you know, in the country believe we should have a balanced budget. Is that the avenue? But here's what the most important thing is. The most important thing is that we all agree on that we can get 34 states to ratify the same language to gather a convention of the states. Now,
one issue, though, right? You're not talking about just for one specific issue.
Well, you have to. You have to have it. From my understanding, again, I'm not the expert, and I'm learning more and doing more homework. This thing's only been going on. It's only been out for about 3.5 months, and I spent probably 16 to 20 hours in Washington D.C. listening, trying to learn and observe and gather as much literature as I could, because the push is only like 3.5 months old. But that is my understanding on one particular issue. So we have to come up with the issue that is the most important thing that we know that we could get together and do. Now, they were talking about from the last election that happened, we only have 32 states. We need 34. Conversations like New Jersey and Ohio would be the two easiest states for us to pick up. Now, how true that is, I don't know. The thing that I didn't like about it that we have to figure out how we can do is Congress has control over the time and the place. So
right.
if we could get this passed, and they're talking, you know, 18 to 24 months to try to make this happen.
But, and how do you also limit it to just, I mean, one of the things against this, and I have to do this in the interest of time, one of the arguments against it is once you call a convention, you really have no control what comes out of the convention once.
Well, that is wrong. And that's the biggest, that's some of the biggest deceit that's out there. Oh, we're going to lose total control. We're going to have all kinds of things about our Constitution. That's not true. That's why you have to pick something. You have to pick the topic that you feel that you can be effective, because the last thing that we want to do is have a convention of the states and then not be effective. But if we had a convention, and this is Tim Swergel's opinion, and listening to good conservatives and stuff across this, not being, oh, my goodness, we're out of control. We have to do something to send a message to Washington that we are fed up and we must be able to stand up. With this convention of the states, I believe we can get attention. I believe we can make things happen.
I agree with you. We have to send a message. And I think I'm glad to see states working together. I've got my concerns about whether or not a convention is a good thing or not, but I think it is good that states are getting together and sending a message to D.C.
I think if anything positive comes out of this is if we can pick one simple thing that we can join together and say this is what – because people don't realize, and this is what I've learned, is before our Constitution, we had a convention of the states almost every other year. So it's not like we have not had something like this happen. Back when we had our revolt or whatever, we wanted them to listen to us. And that was, then we got together and then we formed our Constitution and nothing ever happened to that. We want to be able to say, hey, help me here. We are fed up with the way that you are operating things. We need your attention. And when you have 34 houses and senates across the country that are unified, and we're going to get people to turn their heads. We've got somebody's attention now.
And I think the disgust is growing with Congress, with D.C., and I'm glad to hear that the concern is growing. And I tell you something else that's growing. ConservativeNationMedia.com is growing, and we couldn't think of a better way to expand our lineup than give our very own Bing Fisher his very own show. Uncle Bing Fisher brings his insight and love of America to American by Design. Sunday evenings at 6 p.m. Eastern, 5 Central on ConservativeNationMedia.com. So stay with Conservative Nation Media 7 days a week, since we're making some big changes and we're just getting started. American by Design with Bing Fisher, Sundays at 6 Eastern, 5 Central on ConservativeNationMedia.com, where America always wins. You're listening to Inside Tennessee on Conservative Nation Media. The phone number is 718-305-7176, and we're talking about an Article 5 convention with Representative Tim Wergo from Tennessee, the 74th District. And Tim, so in reference to the Article 5 convention, I am glad to see, although I'm leery of what might come out of it,
most folks are, David, because they're worried, oh, my goodness, what major changes are we going to make to our Constitution? And everybody feels that that this was put in place and it was divine and we had divine intervention, et cetera. And I understand that. I really do, because we don't need to go tampering with something. You know, one of the greatest things that I heard in D.C. was when we were talking about this, that was as little as in the 1940s or whatever, government was like 5% And I hate to quote things, so my numbers might be off. They're not etched in stone, but these are the type of things that I heard, was 5% of our budget. Today,
right,
in 2013, it's 34% to 35% when you take the federal government, the locals, the states, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. That's astronomical.
Oh, yeah.
That's astronomical.
It's getting worse.
Exactly.
Getting
and
worse.
We're only and they're predicting by the year 2030, and these are not Tim Wergel's numbers, these are what I listened to and wrote notes and took figures down, by 2030 to be as high as 50%. We can't sustain that.
What I want to do is I want to get you back on here in, say, a month or so. And, you know, I'm going to go do some reading myself on Article 5, and you get a little more schooled up on it as well. And I want to do a show.
David, so you can read to the listeners next week and put it out the website for this Convention of the State. So people, because here's what we do need. We need to get the topics rolling. We need the grassroots, the people that are conservative like us to get out and do the homework and do the – listen, grassroots politics works. As you well know, we're living in a district, and I don't mean to be sit here and bash Democrats and Republicans, but we're living in a district that was forever a Democratic district.
Yep.
But people have said, you know what, we're tired of this – the way that it's heading. It's not so much changing it to the Republican, it's changing it to the conservative level of, social issues are important, but also so is our economy, so is America. We are losing America, and we do not want that to happen.
No, there's no getting it back once it's lost. Now, one thing I will say, that with this Convention of the States, and that is the states standing up, so that's a good thing, because that's one of the necessary things that has to happen to get our country back on track. And the other thing is, states standing up as the first, but they've got to say no to the money. Okay, you know, the crack addict has to get off the crack, and that's what our state government has to do. We do a pretty good job compared to other states,
we do a great job, but we can. But that's another day, another topic. But I will say
this: that's a whole hour
proud. I am proud of where Tennessee stands. I really am. We pay for our roads as we go. We're pretty well financially stable. Our debt ratio per constituent is really, really low. So, I mean, there's some things that we really can be proud of. We really, really can. We just want to see what we're looking at as America as a whole, because here's what we don't want to. We don't want the government coming into states like us that are looking good and asking us to bail out Illinois, to bail out Michigan, to bail out California.
Yeah.
That's exactly what will happen, and people don't think that can happen, but it can.
Well, we need a Titanic emergency plan, okay? We need a way to make sure that the safety boat that's Tennessee right now doesn't get tied to the Titanic when it goes down, all right? We need to make sure that we've completely cut that line and we've gotten away from what is going to be that huge sucking sound when the country collapses. I really appreciate you coming on. I want to have you back, and let's plan on about an hour for that Article 5 convention thing,
all right?
Okay?
Thank you, David. I appreciate y'all.
Thanks.
To all the listeners out there, have a great Merry Christmas. And a blessed New Year, all right? Thank you, David.
Yeah, the happy holiday is Merry Christmas, by the way. Take care. Thank you, Tim. I appreciate you coming on.
Don't forget the reason for the season, please.
Exactly.
Bye.
All right, folks, we've got to take a quick break. When we come back, we're going to talk about the Defending the Constitution rally with Dean Fisher, Phil Diedrich, and hopefully Lisa May Norton. But we're going to take a quick break. Don't go away. We'll be right back.
The Internet's official rhino hunting safari.
Whether you're on active duty, a veteran, or just admire American Armed Forces, there's no better place to get the widest variety of militaria than at Highlands Militaria. Highlands Militaria is one of America's premier distributors of Fox tactical gear and outdoor products. Veteran-owned and operated, Highlands Militaria offers new and used uniforms and insignia from World War II, Korea, Vietnam, and today. With an emphasis on airborne and special operations insignia, gear, collectibles, and uniforms. If you need to replace a cherished badge or unit patch, or just want to gear up for your next outdoor adventure, go to Highlands Militaria at stores.ebay.com/Highlands-Militaria, where you'll find the best supply of the military gear you need. Shipping is always free with one-day handling time, and your satisfaction is guaranteed. Highlands Militaria at stores.ebay.com/Highlands-Militaria, and thank you for your service.
Welcome back to Inside Tennessee on Conservative Nation Media. I'm your host, Dave Vance. The phone number is 718-305-7676. And I've got an echo. Okay, anyway, we are going to talk with Bean Fisher and Lisa Mae Norton about the Defending the Constitution rally in April. Hopefully Phil will call in here in a little bit. How you doing tonight, Bean? How you doing, Lisa?
I'm doing great. Yeah, we're doing great. Phil won't be able to make it. He's got a sick kid that he's got to take care of. So me and Lisa are going to be tag teaming here, and she'll tell you about the artists, and I'll try to tell you about the event if that's all right.
Okay, well, let's start with you then. Just kind of lay out. You know, I think the event was either your or Phil's idea one, but just let's give us a little history on what you plan on. You know, what this thing is all about, and then we'll talk about the music.
Well, it basically was Phil's idea, and Lisa's very much involved in this. I'm basically just doing the website for them for this event. So, yeah, we got tons of bands. It's going to be at the in Waynesboro, Tennessee, April 25th, 26th, and those are the two main dates. We're also going to have people are going to be leaving on Sunday, which is the 27th. So. We're going to have a preacher, you know, in the morning, and if people want to catch service, they can do that before they head out. And we've got a lot of great speakers. We've got a lot of great artists, and it's going to be, like I said, the Crazy Horse RV Park and Canoe Rental, and that's going to be it's right on the Buffalo River in Waynesboro, Tennessee. And they have over 600 canoes that you can rent. Of course, we want you to listen to the music. People that come in, there'll be a slight charge per car that comes in. There's some primitive camping available. I think everything else has been taken. There might be some hotel rooms and so on available in that area. And that address there is 2505 Waynesboro Highway, Waynesboro, Tennessee, 38485. And it's a beautiful venue. It's going to be a beautiful event, and it's to get people together to help defend the raping of our Constitution. And that's the name of the event, is the Defend the Constitution Rally. And we hope that a lot of people come there. We already got probably, I would say, we're estimating about 2,000 people to be there. So,
wow.
And of course,
when did you announce?
Yeah. This was, Lisa, when did we announce this? It's been, a month ago? A couple months? Maybe a month.
Yeah, I mean, that's when Phil and the rest of the folks that were originally organizing this started the website, or not the website, the Facebook group. And we've actually had to divert. So just, you know, everybody knows there's actually two Facebook groups out there, Defend the Constitution Rally and without getting into the specifics, there's the there's one that's open and one that's closed. The one that's open is the actual group that we want everybody to join in, because that's where we're going to be posting updates on, you know, speakers and artists and all the, you know, all the other details on how to become a sponsor, how to sign up as a vendor and that sort of thing.
Yeah, I posted that link in the chat room here, Dave, and we're going to have the website up pretty soon. You know, we've got 4 months to plan, so we've got a long time to you know, to reach our goal. But yeah, Lisa can expound on some of these. And I don't really want to say as far as who we got speaking to the point right yet, because, you know, some of these people, we need to make sure that we got everybody in line and that kind of stuff. But Lisa from BigDogMusicMafia.com, and if you're not a member over there, just, you know, BigDogMusicMafia.com, go over there and sign up. They got some great music, conservative music and libertarian music and just stuff that you would love to download. And she's one of the cohorts involved in this, and we've got, eight coordinators planning this event, and a lot of people you would know. So we're also going to have a booth for CNM over there and Tradam and so on. So, you know, it's going to be a great 2-day event, actually 3 days if you want. You know, we're going to have vendors and, you know, music, great speakers. It basically started as it's going to have a lot of stuff to deal with. Common Core is going to have a lot of stuff to deal with. Islam in this country, or in the state, actually, in this country too. We got Bill Warner, I know, and Kathy Henner. It's been, you know, it's been on your show, and she's actually got a radio show here. Robert Garding's going to be there. He's actually one of our talk show hosts, and of course we got the whole Big Dog Music Mafia crew coming out, man. So we got people coming from all over the place. Pardon me?
Got a question for you.
Sure.
What is the difference in libertarian, some good libertarian music and some good conservative music? I'm just kind of trying to figure that one out here. Can one of give me a little insight on
these? Okay. Well, it's not conservative music and it's not libertarian music. It's music by conservatives or music by libertarians.
Ah, okay. I got you. I was trying to figure that one out. Sorry about that. I was just being a little facetious there. Sorry.
Well, no, in other words, we're not going to have a bunch of liberals up there walking around like, you know, wounded ducks on stage, okay?
I didn't figure that the liberals would be there. Now, see, what defending the Constitution rally is certainly needed. I mean, and you have to narrow it down probably to about 10 things out of the 20 or 30 we need to defend it from. You know, I'm just going to throw this out there. It's a crazy idea. Incorporate a gun show to it. What do you think? Just a thought.
I'd love that, but I don't. You know, we're dealing. Look, you know, this is a big event. We're dealing with the people that actually own the campground out there, and you know, we have to make sure that we got all our ducks in a row. I mean, maybe we might have we might have something like that, but it might be airsoft or something. I don't know. You know, we still got we got people that are coming on board every day. We got different vendors, and of course, Lisa's bringing in all the music, you know, we're looking, you know, right now for sponsorship, and we're, you know, for people to help us sponsor the event, and it's not going to cost a lot. And for we're also looking maybe at a couple more speakers. We're not sure yet, but Lisa, why don't you tell them about the artists real quick?
Well, actually, it's so just to give a little background, we performed at an event in Nashville called the We Stand with Gibson Rally a year and a half ago.
I was there.
Yeah, okay. So I was there, and Bang, you were there, and a whole bunch of other folks were there. And from that rally, I met a gal named Lisa Joyner who joined Big Dogs right after the rally. And so when, you know, she was one of the original organizers of this event, and things kind of didn't work out, but she approached us and said, hey, we're having a rally, and, you know, we'd love to have you guys, the Big Doggers, show up and provide the entertainment. And it's, and what it is, it's not so much the entertainment that we're focused on as so much as our mission. And the mission of Big Dogs is to educate our fellow Americans using our creative abilities on the issues. And so here's how you do it. The liberals have been very successful at doing this. And Andrew Breitbart, rest his soul, tried to pound this in everybody's head, saying, look, the liberals took over the culture, and then because they took over the culture, they're able to control and influence how people think. And when, if you can influence how people think, you can influence how they vote. So our mission is to try to change that and to try to get people, and we're not all about political music. We're about just making good music of every type of genre, and it's not just music. At Big Dogs, we have painters, photographers, filmmakers, authors, radio hosts, bloggers, you name it, people that are using their God-given talents to try to make a difference. And so that's the hook. Their talent is simply the hook to get them to become interested in as a fan, as a follower, and as you grow that fan base, you know, some of them might be on the fence about issues. And then and once they start seeing you posting, because obviously none of us are afraid to let our political leanings be known publicly. You know, we wear the conservative or the libertarian label proudly. And so when our friends and followers see us talking about the issues, such as Common Core and Sharia law and gun, you know, Second Amendment rights and First Amendment rights, when then we're helping educate them, because we've hooked them with the music, we've hooked them with the art and whatever other talents we're using to sort of lure them in and awaken them. Because so many people, I can't tell you how many times I hear people, family members, friends, coworkers say, "Oh, I just can't be bothered with politics. That hurts my head." I'm like, well, you know, it's gonna hurt your pocketbook. It's gonna hurt your checkbook if it hasn't.
It's gonna
already
hurt more than that. It's okay. Gonna hurt. Lisa, I've got to jump in here just a minute, and then we'll be right back.
You gotta take a break there, Dave.
I'm up against a hard break. One of the worst nightmares that can fall on American today is identity theft. If it happens to you, it may take months or even longer to recover from it, if you can recover at all. Don't let it happen to you. Protect yourself in advance. Sign up today with LifeLock. LifeLock is a lot more than just your standard credit monitoring service. LifeLock helps to protect your personal information using a combination of data surveillance techniques and outstanding member service 24/7, 365. There's really nothing that comes close to LifeLock. To protect your identity with LifeLock and get 10% off their great service, go to conservativenationmedia.com and click on the LifeLock banner. Network may not cover all transactions, and the scope may vary. That's conservativenationmedia.com, then click on the LifeLock banner. You'll be very glad that you did. And you'll be very glad that you're going to come right back after this short break, and we'll finish our conversation.
Molon LeVay Challenge Coins and Wares. Similar to challenge coins used by various military units, these MLCCW coins are ideal for anyone that champions the right to keep and bear arms by highlighting the Second Amendment and the Greek phrase Molon LeVay, which translated means come and take them. Come check out our pro-freedom, pro-liberty, and pro-Second Amendment coins and shirts at MLCCW.com. That's MLCCW.com.
Dr. Martin Luther King said, "Injustice anywhere is a threat to justice everywhere, and the worst injustice imaginable is the wrongful conviction of an innocent person." I'm Sam Thurman, host of A Just Cause Coast to Coast, Tuesdays 8 p.m. Eastern, 7 Central, on conservativenationmedia.com. We take a look at what happens when innocent people go to jail as a result of bad evidence, wrongful prosecution, and dishonest witnesses. We use real cases of actual Americans who've been wrongfully convicted. A Just Cause Coast to Coast, Tuesdays 8 Eastern, 7 Central, conservativenationmedia.com.
First thing I remember knowing was a lonesome whistle blowing and a youngin's dream of growing up to ride on a freight train leaving town, not knowing where I'm
Welcome back to Inside Tennessee on Conservative Nation Media. I'm your host, Dave Vance. The phone number is 718-305-7176. That's 718-305-7176. And we are talking to Bing Fisher and Lisa Mae Norton from Big Dog Music Media, or Mafia, excuse me. And we're talking about the Defending the Constitution rally in April in Waynesboro, Tennessee. You know, you were talking about reaching people, basically trying to recapture the culture. And that's one of the problems we have. It's an area we didn't even fight for years. I mean,
we let the liberals take over.
You know, music, I know that when I was growing up, I mean, I was into music, and most kids are. My kids are. It's different stuff. But music was a huge influence growing up. And, you know, just think about it. If good music played by good conservatives – I think that's powerful, you know, and teaching people, teaching your kids and inspiring them to speak up for what you believe. I mean, that's what they did, in the 60s, that
right.
generation that screwed this country up, they had some great music.
Right.
And the music
great,
helped,
right.
I think, was kind of a motivating factor. We need that, but we just need it with a conservative bent.
Right, and so, the whole thing is that the music that was promoted. See, this goes way back to the early 1900s when Communist Party USA set out to destroy America. And McCarthy, with the McCarthy trials and the blacklist, that was the man was right. He knew what was happening, but he was made out to be crazy. And when you have people in power that are working for Stalin, basically back then, they're going to do whatever it takes to ridicule. I mean, it's pure Alinsky tactics to isolate and ridicule the person that's actually telling the truth and make the liar out to be the truth teller and make the truth teller out to be some whack job. And that's what they're doing. They're doing it now with the Tea Party. You know, they're doing anybody that dares to question the most transparent administration, you know, ever.
You're labeled a racist.
Right.
We're
racist.
I would say they are the most transparent. They are the most transparent communist, the most transparent pro-Muslim, the most transparent pro-fag, and yes, I said pro-fag. they are the most transparent baby-killing administration in the history of our country. So, I think we need to start throwing it back at them in every way, shape, and form. If that's with music, then, hey, I that's just another weapon, as far as I see.
Well,
that's why this event is
so important, because we are bordered by so many states. There's so many people from other states, not just our own state, including our own state, but I mean other states too that can make it here. We got people coming, Lisa, and if you could please expound upon that. But you know, throughout history, you know, rulers and dictators tried to take away the people's rights to gain power. I mean, you know, you can see that. I mean, you know, Hitler, all over the place. You know, but I mean, liberty for people is endowed by their creator, thus unalienable. You know, it should require no defense. Our founders closed their declaration with this pledge to each other and all that would follow. With a firm reliance on the protection of divine providence, we mutually pledge to each other our lives, our fortunes, and our sacred honor. And that's why we're doing this event. We can't afford to give this administration free reign to finish their transformation of America. Because that's what they're doing. They're trying to transform America. And if we can do it through via music, which I'm a musician too, I mean, and if we can do it with people that get hooked on the music, as Lisa said, and then come in and listen to the speaker speak and say, wow, I didn't know that. You know, that is that right there, and then plus the music hitting them too, that right there is a great thing to me. And that's what we're trying to achieve. And it's grassroots. It's all grassroots, and we need help, and we need.
There's going to be a push to register, to get people registered and get people pumped up, and for the midterms, and remind everybody that primaries are coming up, and deadlines to register for those primaries are like in July. I know in Tennessee, July 8th, I believe, and then the primaries are the following month. So, but
to let people know that they've got to really be focused on who are we, who are we nominating and who are we supporting? You know, just, we can't support someone just because they have an R next to their name. We gotta do our homework and we gotta vet them and we gotta use radio shows like these to educate people. Yeah. And again, using the talents that we have to try to grow a fan base just of people who enjoy art, people who enjoy music or films or books or what have you. If they become your friend, they become your fan, even if they're sort of on the fence about issues, you can sort of hook them in and then start educating them, because they have been going, la, 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 I hear nothing, with their fingers in their ear, But now we're like, okay, well, now I got you. You like my music? Well, let me tell you about me, the artist. Let me tell you what makes me tick. You know, I'm a mom. I have a young son. I've got two stepdaughters in college. You know, and we see what this government's doing to this country, and clearly their goal is to grow the entitlement base to the point where there are more of them than there are of hard-working
they're
Americans.
Very, very close. They're very, very close. I've got a caller on the line here. Anyone want to take his call? Caller, you have a question or comment?
Yes, I do. This is Ron. How y'all doing?
No, here you
doing
go.
Fine, Ron. Hey, how's it going?
Hello, Lisa.
Hi, Ron. You're not going to talk to me about the e-cigarette thing, I hope.
Well, we can do that, but I'd rather do that privately if you get my drift. And Bing, you're mighty cute too, but I'm really need to ask Lisa, why aren't y'all talking about who's coming? And the reason I'm saying that is that I heard on your podcast from Saturday night that Chip was coming.
Yes. Yep.
Praise the Lord.
Chip Murray is coming down.
Absolutely. Praise the Lord. My goodness, what a program you're going to have just with him there.
Yeah, well, let me tell you. Okay, so let me just give you the rundown. So we have Nathan Picard, and Nathan's from Nashville. He was out in L.A. up until about a couple months ago. He moved his family to Nashville, and he has, the man's, his bio is just incredible. He's got songs featured on shows like Criminal Minds, MTV's show I Used to Be Fat, and Road Rules, Kyle XY, VH1's Tough Love, Army Wives on Lifetime, numerous specials on the E! Network. He's a member of ASCAP. He has his own publishing company, Two Tone Technicolor Publishing. He's shared the stage with Jewel, Three Doors Down, The Calling, Lenny Kravitz. The man has a bio that's just incredible, but his most recent bragging rights come from the fact that his song, Memory Finds You, is the closing song for the new Nicolas Cage movie, Frozen Ground, where Nicolas Cage is a private detective going after John Cusack, a serial murderer up in Alaska, and it's based on a true story. So Nathan's song is the closing song on that, and he was voted Hot 100 Unsigned Artist of the Year by Music Connection Magazine and number one demo of the year. So fantastic talent there. Then we've got Brian Futch. Brian is from Atlanta, Georgia, and he's got a band called Red Velvet Mojo. His music is very reminiscent of like Stevie Ray Vaughan kind of music. Really cool stuff.
Yeah, he's very good.
Yeah,
he's good.
He's an Army vet. He was Special Forces in the Army, and I'm a vet also. Just so whenever I hook up with other vets, it's always a kind of a cool thing, especially when they're artists, musicians. But he's had Song of the Year in the Memphis Songwriting Association Songwriter Showcase. He's won numerous times. He was vice president of the Memphis Songwriters Association for a while. And he was doing some work with Split Publishing in Nashville, where he's worked alongside
with Merle
Haggard. Yeah.
Oh, I've got to make a PaleoCon announcement.
Gotcha.
A PaleoCon announcement being our friendly local pilot in command and GOP spokesman Duke Brooks calls himself a PaleoCon, and rightly so, since it's clear that anti-communism is in his DNA. His parents were friends with Joe McCarthy, Bill Buckley, and Whitaker Chambers, so what would you expect? There's no truth to the rumor that he has a dartboard with Alger Hiss's picture on it, but you can get your weekly dosage of old-school conservatism, right-wing politics, American history, and Hangar Flying Radio Free America with Duke Brooks, Wednesdays at 8 p.m. Eastern, 7 p.m. Central, on conservativenationmedia.com, where America always wins. You're listening to Inside Tennessee and Conservative Nation Media. And back to you, Lisa. Give us the breakdown on who else we're going to see there,
okay.
What else you have planned.
All right, so Brian Futch, I won't read all their bios. It'll all be on the website that Bing is building and should be ready fairly soon. So you'll be able to read their bios there, and you'll be able to sample some of their music and check out their website. And then, of course, we have the one and only Mr. Chip Murray from New York, and the man is just incredible. I mean, his music, it's like when I'm having a bad day, a stressful time, I just go to his page at Big Dog Music Mafia and listen to his music playing. Or, you know, he sent me his CDs. I have them in my car. Not only an awesome artist, but he's an awesome writer. He posts probably more blogs.
He writes every day.
Yeah, almost every, pretty much every day, and sometimes twice a day. So it's like the guy's a prolific writer, just a real patriot, and so smart, so smart. So definitely go check out ChipMurray.com. Then we have Bobby Powers and Party Time. Great, great guys. They've performed at the FreedomWorks convention the night before the Glenn Beck rally, and Michelle Bachmann recruited them that very night to perform at an impromptu tea party the next day. And just really great, good rock and roll music. It's just good. I don't know how to describe
it. It's not headbanging. It's just good rock.
Good rock and roll music. And he's actually had a number one song back in the day. He used to go by the name Bobby Steele, and he had a top 10 song by a lady called Sapphire, Thinking of You, and another song that was number one, If Wishes Came True, for Sweet Sensation. He's been nominated for a Grammy Award. He's got very, very talented musician, and Robin Gordon is his partner. And then Chloe's Open Socket. Now, these guys are more of the heavy rock, but it's just, I mean, heavy, hard-hitting political messages. I mean, in your face.
Can you understand them? Okay.
Yes,
we can be able to
absolutely.
Understand them. Okay.
Absolutely.
All right. Cool.
It's not the screaming kind of rock. But you can understand the lyrics, and it's just got a heavier, guitar line and bass, and it's really cool stuff. In fact, Michael Marino was my guest on my show. I do a show every Saturday night called Off the Hook, where we spotlight a different member of Big Dog to help, help them build their fan base and hook more people in so we can indoctrinate them to the thinking the right way.
Lisa,
and then,
I got a question for you. Has Big Dog Music, have you done things like this in other places? Have you had events like what you're going to do in April in other places?
Well, okay, we did CPAC 2011, and we had something called Liberty Fest, where we had 10 bands come down and perform 3 songs each in a ballroom that we rented, because we were actually a sponsor at CPAC, and we had our own booth, and I actually got
you're
to moderate.
You're a sponsor of
CPAC? I was 2 years, or Big Dogs was 2 years ago in 2011.
Wow.
Yeah. And then last year we were there on Radio Row, Big Dog Music Radio. We were on Radio Row for 2 days in a row, broadcasting live and grabbing folks and interviewing them on the spot. And it was a blast. And we're actually going to be there again for CPAC 2014 in March, first weekend in March. And it's at the Gaylord National Harbor Hotel in Baltimore, or not Baltimore, I'm sorry, in Maryland. Not quite as far north as Baltimore.
If you're going to have it on your website when you put it up, are you going to have any sample music on there? Because I'm hoping that maybe I could interest my son in going.
We're going to have
all the sample music up there. It's going to be easily accessible. I mean, and Lisa's also going to be performing, and she also writes for Breitbart. So you might as well tell them about yourself too.
Chloe's Open Socket, I didn't get to them. That's headed by Michael Marino, who was our guest last Saturday night, and they're coming up from Florida. And so, then there's me. I've been I've been a singer since I was knee-high to a grasshopper. And when I was in the Air Force, I sang in numerous bands, cover bands and things like that. But then in 1990, I toured around the world with the Air Force Tops in Blue, and that was quite the experience. We performed at 138 bases around the world for military families, and it was awesome. And then I came back and finished out my Air Force career in Maryland at Fort Meade, and then follow on at an assignment in Virginia, and retired there in 2000. And I've been doing this political songwriting. What happened with Sarah Palin when she was announced as McCain's running mate, something sort of awakened my political bone, if you will. It's like I always voted Republican, but I didn't really focus on you know, the issues as much as, you know. And here's the thing: a lot of us, I think, are guilty of that. I think we were just comfortable. We were working hard, taking care of our families, doing our thing, while the liberals were out there, you know, meticulously plotting and scheming. And if you read the communist goals from 1963, the Senate record or House record, there's a record with 45 communist goals. If you read those, my gosh, they're pretty much almost
introduced in 64, and there's pretty much all. That was something I did about 3 years ago, and it was just funny, you know, because I bring it up once in a while. But
I started writing political songs then in 2008, and performed the first Tea Party in Charlottesville in Virginia, and then the big 9/12 march, the one that happened in D.C. where over a million people showed up. That night was the Free Republic National Convention, and I performed there for the first time at a big event. And Alan West was a candidate running for Congress back then, and he was one of the keynote speakers along with Andrew Wilkow. But anyways. So getting back to your question, have we ever done anything like this? We did the Liberty Fest at CPAC. The turnout wasn't as great as we wanted because the timing, having it at 7 p.m. at night was a bad idea because everybody was either at the banquet or at, you know, one of the swanky blogger bashes or, you know, all these parties that they have off site. So, you know, we learned a few lessons from that, and we just, you know, I'm looking forward to seeing some of these artists for the very first time. You know, we've been communicating with each other, sharing their music, having them on our show. But I've never met Chip in person. I can't wait. Same with Nathan Picard and who else? I have met Brian Futch, and I have met Bobby and Michael Marino. Oh, and I forgot, Kat Beach. Ms. Kat Beach is from Nashville as well. And she is phenomenal. She will be there. She's not only is she drop dead gorgeous, but she's got
The guys are gonna love her.
Yeah, she's got a very very sultry voice.
Eye candy.
So, eye candy and ear candy.
So
I'll be kicking off with the national anthem, and I'll probably do one or two songs. I've got a song called Our Guns that my partner Big Dog and I wrote for a Second Amendment march in D.C. I'm looking forward to it.
Do these fans mostly do their own music, or do they cover a lot of older stuff? Or is it kind of a mix?
I'm sorry. I got distracted.
They're pretty much original, as far as I know.
Yeah,
most of these
original.
Fans do original stuff. Okay.
Yes.
And it's all good stuff. It's good stuff, Dave.
I think you could take something like Give Me Back My Bullets and really, with just changing a few things here and there, you know, Skinner's Give Me Back My Bullets, I think you could change a few lines here and really fit the times.
Well, there are rules about that, you can do a parody. If you take a song, for example, a couple weeks ago we had Garrett Lloyd King on the show, and he took I Want My MTV, you know, that Money for Nothing, and he changed to I Want My EBT. You know, and basically a parody, and it's awesome. It's awesome. But so you're allowed to do that, but you can't really take these songs that somebody else wrote and just change a couple words and then make it your own. That's taboo. So but what you can do is your own version of their song. For example, Big Dog and I took the song by The Who, the classic protest song, Won't Get Fooled Again. And
oh,
we
yeah,
went
that's
ahead
perfect. And, yeah, much and, to that one.
Yeah. We didn't change any lyrics. We just changed the whole feel. We made it more of a, I don't know, kind of an acoustic version, an unplugged version, if you will. And I've gotten a lot of positive feedback on that. They're like, whoa, I wasn't expecting that, but that's awesome. So, yeah, I'm definitely not Pete Townsend. So, anyway.
You can break your guitar, right?
Yeah. Yep,
yeah.
Yep.
But, yeah, you know, it's April 25th through the 27th. It's actually April 25th through the 26th, and everybody's going to be tearing down pretty much on the 27th. But I think we are going to have a pastor there in the morning. And if you want to hit us on Facebook, it's Defend the Constitution Rally, quote or paragraph DTCR 2014. You can find us there. And also Big Dog Music Mafia, you guys got links up there. We'll have links on Trad-Am. We'll have the website up here shortly. And we've got some good speakers that I'll announce when we are finally sure that we've got them. And we pretty much secured them. So, but, yeah, go to BigDogMusicMafia.com and sign up over there and listen to some of that music. Some of that music is just fantastic.
What we're trying to do at Big Dogs is become sort of the Craigslist of all things conservative or libertarian, all things that are right leaning when it comes to the arts. And it's a free venue, it's a free platform, and we're trying to help showcase talent, because I can't tell you how many people say conservatives have no talent. You know, that leave the music to the liberals, because liberals do it better. Says who? You know, We've got Grammy Award winning artists. We have a guy who was Steve Winwood's keyboard player. He's a singer-songwriter. His name is James Hooker. He was Nancy Sinatra's band leader for 25 years. We have Trade Martin, who is B.B. King's producer, a Grammy Award winning producer. And Trade actually is one of our radio hosts. He does a couple of shows on Big Dog Music Radio. And just, you know, the resumes of so many of these people are just really, really impressive. But at the same time, they also work full time. You know, these people, these writing music and recording and all that, that's like on the side on top of their regular day jobs. Most of us have regular gigs that we do on during the day.
Yep.
To pay the bills. So.
Yeah, and that, like I said, that's going to be in Waynesboro, Tennessee. Mark your calendar down. Just, you know, make a point that you're going to be there, and it's the 25th through the 27th, and in Waynesboro, Tennessee, that Crazy Horse Canoe and RV Park, and Crazy Horse, actually, it's called Crazy Horse RV Park and Canoe Rental, and they got 600 canoes there, so that's a lot, so... you know, it's going to be a fun time. We got different vendors doing different things. We got people selling food. We got all sorts of stuff, and it's just going to be a good day. It's a family type day, so you know, please bring your family out, and you know, just keep checking on us on Facebook and so on. And when we get the website out, Dave, I'll give you your listeners a link. I'm going to share it. Of course, Robert's going to share it most likely. And Kathy Henners, too, on Roll Call. Daily Roll Call is going to share it, too. So she'll be speaking there. So
sounds good. I'm looking forward to it.
And you're going to be there.
I'll be down. Yeah, unless something comes up, I'll be there.
Yeah, and we're actually working on a couple different opportunities for people to become sponsors and with different incentives for three different levels. And we also are going to be – I am a writer for Breitbart News, so
really?
I will be doing a piece on the event once we get things firmed up. And that actually happened. The Breitbart News thing happened at CPAC 2011. The editor-in-chief of Big Hollywood said, I love what you're doing. He says he actually wrote a quick article, and he said what Lisa is doing, instead of bemoaning the fact that the liberals own Hollywood and they own the music industry, she's taken matters into her own hands. And it wasn't even my idea. It was Big Dog, my partner, and Ms. Lisa Day. You know, we founded Big Dog Music Mafia in August of 2010, and But anyway, so John Nolte, the editor-in-chief of Big Hollywood, said, I love what you're doing, and I'd love to have you join the team and write about the artist. So that's what I do. I'd like to do it more frequently, but I also have a day job on top of, you know, trying to run a website and a radio station and host my own shows and, you know, whatever.
Well, I'm going to quote Anvil Joe Biden here, okay? And I'm going to say that this is going to be a big freaking deal, okay? So please get your calendars out and be there. That's all I'm going to say. I know Dave's got to close the show out here a little bit, but
yeah.
Good night, everybody, and we appreciate it. And once we get these links up and get this stuff together, we got over four months, really. So we'll get all this stuff to you.
Thank you.
Go ahead, Kurt.
All right, guys. You're doing fine. You wind it up there, Dave, okay?
All right.
Well, thanks for having us on,
everybody.
Dave.
Hey, thank you for coming on. I appreciate you guys listening. You're working with me through my tech troubles, so hopefully we'll get that straightened out. But thanks again, and we'll have you back, and we'll see you in April. Look forward to meeting you. Take care.
All right. Merry Christmas.
Good night.
Merry Christmas. Good night.